managed to do that. Steal anybody's sunshine, really. Good morning, Southside Broadcasting on Hospedia Channel 1, and we have Kayleigh Carr and Reverend Marie Edwards in the studio, and of course, very historic moment, because not only is there a train officially being opened, well, actually, it's not the train that's being opened, it's the train line, the train station stop, I believe, Marie.
It is, yeah, they've got an official opening today, yeah.
Very good. Nice to see that's coincided with your good self, of course, which is really wonderful in every sense. As indeed has the change in the Synod of the Church of England, which now, of course, allows you to actually move from your role as full-time chaplain leader to full bishop status shortly.
Yes, I might have thought twice about applying for lead chaplain if I'd known the bishop role was going to be open at some point.
I think we actually had the House of Lords on the phone there at the moment, just to sort of access that piece of information. Let's just share with the listener, obviously, a little bit about your own background in terms of how you have arrived at James Cook University Hospital. We're delighted that you're here. Of course, you're not a newbie. You have actually sort of, you know, you've worked with us before, really, in terms of... You know,
yes, I have, work. Yeah. I've been working here at James Cook for the South Tees NHS Foundation Trust since 2010. I was ordained as deacon in 2009 and then priested the year later in 2010 and started here later in that year. I was brought on board, really. I came for the interview for the agreement that we have with Teesside Hospice, and I was the chaplain that sort of mainly visited over at Teesside Hospice, as well as visiting here at James Cook.
Lots of exciting things, of course, as ever, with respect to the James Cook University Hospital, and also its commitment to the healing of the spirit as well as the mind, because the two things are irretrievably connected, aren't they, really?
Yes, they are. I mean, we have to look at people as a whole person, and not just sort of the physical illness that brings them into hospital, because it has a wide impact on them. Sure. Yeah, every aspect of them.
I think the old line, healthy mind, healthy body, is even more critical these days. Yes. And, of course, the Holistic Care Centre has officially a designated chaplaincy slot in there as well.
So. It does, yeah. We do a meditation each week for anybody who wants to come along, just half an hour on a Thursday lunchtime. Yeah, people are more than welcome.
Kayleigh Carr, who's with us, of course, as well. And congratulations once more, Kayleigh, on your upper second, which is very
Thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Multimedia journalism.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. When you first made your first steps to Southside Broadcasting, we always say it's just before you get to the chaplaincy. In fact, we're connected with the chaplaincy for that. What do you think of the Chapel of the Good Samaritan as an area and a place? What are your thoughts on it? Because I know we've shown you a couple of times. What are your initial thoughts on it?
I think it is like a really good place, especially for the people. Like, it's situated in the right place. It's obviously a place where people can go to feel like, I can't even describe the word, but where they just go for some, like, kind of guidance and support from, like, all the different things around them sort of thing. It's, in my opinion, it is a really good place, but, yeah.
And a sense of calm, I think.
It is, yes. That's the word.
Because that was something, Maria, I thought it was worthwhile, because no matter what your particular beliefs or whatever sort of things are, that is something which is there, which is important. It is at the heart of the hospital, and it's a very significant part of the trust as well.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a very quiet room. It's when you come off the busy corridor, it's amazing just how the doors block out any sound of people going past. Mm. So it's very quiet, it's very peaceful. It's open to anybody, and it's open 24 hours a day. We get lots of people just coming and out, and we've got a prayer book people can write in and candles that people can light. And it's open to anybody of all faiths and none. You know, our office is just next to it, so if anybody wanted to have a chat, there's usually somebody about and things like that.
Which is, I think, one of the major assets in terms of that side of things. And, of course, you have a chaplaincy team, because we said full-time chaplaincy team leader, which is always important. Would you like to mention some names?
Yeah, we have a wide team, actually. We work ecumenically, so we've got people of all denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Church of England, Roman Catholic. We have a mixture of paid staff, chaplaincy staff, and volunteers, and again, the volunteers are all ecumenical and come in throughout the week. The people that I work with here at James Cook, we've got Sarah Ramsden and Marjorie Grange, and Robert G and Rodney Brecken and Len Collins are our chaplaincy staff. And then we have four or five volunteers that come in on a Monday, and then lots of Eucharistic ministers that come during the week for people who want to receive communion. They go out on the wards and deliver communion to them.
And so that is why, Marie, you are so successful getting the job, because you can actually roll the names off us straight away. Fantastic stuff in every sense of the word. So what do you, I mean, obviously in your own spiritual journey, it's quite interesting. Yes. We go back to the notion of obviously the decision to have women bishops and a whole range of things, and we appreciate yeah. that. Still probably going to cause one or two sort of slight concerns yes, in terms yeah. Of people's beliefs and theological side of things and so on. What brought you to your present position?
I didn't grow up in the church. I discovered my local church when my best friend asked me to be chief bridesmaid, and I went along and found where the church was, and it just sort of grew from there. The people were very welcoming. The services, I went to the family service, so it was very lively service, very upbeat service. Mm. But I also worked for quite a number of years for a Christian family as a nanny, and it was their sort of guidance and help and willingness to answer my millions of questions that kind of led me on the path.
Peter and Paul said what to each other?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just kind of, it was just, they were so open and welcoming and non-judgmental, and it was just kind of like having a big family, really. And I attended the toddler group with the children that I looked after, and they were exactly the same, answering the questions and all the rest of it. So it sort of grew from there, really, and I became more involved in my local church. And it was actually a reader at my local church that suggested I think about becoming a reader myself. And it was through prayer and discussion with the sort of various people within the church that set me off on my sort of academic training towards being a reader. And from that, I sort of felt then that my vocation was actually towards ordained ministry. And so instead of being licensed as a reader, I moved on to ordination training and went from there. Yeah.
And certainly in your current role, your predecessors, of course, Reverend Malcolm Masterman, and indeed before Malcolm, Reverend Philip Carrington, I think the one thing that they probably sort of say is that no day is the same as the day that preceded
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Constant
yeah.
change,
yeah,
constant environment, etc. Is yeah. that part of the attraction of the post?
It is, I think. I mean, a lot of the sort of academic and practical training that you do for ordination is focused around parish ministry, because that's where the majority of people go. And that's fantastic. I had a lovely curacy with Marjorie Grange, actually, one of my colleagues. But I sort of had a little taster of chaplaincy during my training as one of my placements, and just seeing the difference between that and parish ministry, and seeing all of the variation and the different people that you met, was what kind of opened my eyes for a different type of ministry, really. But it is wide and varied, and you meet lots of different people.
You soon become a broadcasting star, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and already the fans that have sort of flocked over seeing your Facebook photographs of the studio.
Oh, my
amazing,
goodness.
You know, so it's facebook.com/SouthsideBroadcasting. So when we do the latest shots, we expect thousands to work through.
Oh,
millions.
So
great
yeah.
stuff there. And concluding the day for today, of course, any particular thoughts for people who are listening to this? They might be listening live, they might be listening by podcast, however they're actually listening to it. Thoughts of folk who might be sort of not necessarily being able to enjoy the best of the world they're having. They might be feeling a little bit down, a little bit low, they might be a bit poorly.
Yeah.
What would you like to share with us?
I think one of the things that we have here at the hospital is the support that everybody gets, whether it's from the chaplaincy team or from the staff that's looking after them. There's always somebody to talk to. So just to not feel alone if you're feeling down, and just, you know, be brave enough to say to someone, I'm feeling a bit rubbish today, can somebody just chat with me and sit with me for a bit? Because I think if you're sharing how you're feeling, then that definitely helps to bring things up and make people feel a little bit better.
I think that sums up the whole thing perfectly, in a very Christian manner, I want to say, which is always very good. Unfortunately,
yes.
We actually used another adjective at this particular stage, but still fantastic. So that a final plug, of course, because as well as the service of Mass for the Chapel of the Good Samaritan that's broadcast at 1 o'clock every Monday, there might be other events that'll be broadcasting through, but there's also a morning prayer service that you also host that you
yes
sort of
we
mention.
Do morning prayer as often as we can each day in the chapel, usually around 9:15. We usually check to see if anybody's in there. They're welcome to join us if they want to, and we do that most days as often as we can. Yeah.
Reverend Marie Edwards, for the moment, many thanks indeed. I think that's concluded that particular piece. But we do have one last duty for you to actually sort of... In fact, well, I say last duty, first duty
first
in many
duty,
ways.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because if we actually sort of turn to our left here, we have to say that not only has Kayleigh Carr successfully graduated, which is wonderful stuff, but even more fantastic than that.
Yes.
Even though for the last set of scores for the Fly Me to the Moon Brazil World Cup FIFA Predictor Challenge, she didn't actually score any points as such.
She, oh.
Because we're completely wrong in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Brazil did not win. They lost 3-0.
Yeah.
And neither did Argentina. They also lost 1-0.
Oh,
so
no.
the battle at that stage, which had gone long time ago. We started with 5 whole competitors, reduced to 2, of course. But as we said at the start, Kaylee, because she had bonus scores of 3 points various other ways, actually did win the actual retriever. So for that, she gets a brand new Ian Lennox book, The 60s Man, a fantastic CD from the 80s, and a Farmer New Nutritional Supplement. And we ask you to officially, formally present Kaylee Carr with her winner's trophies for the
end of the year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who would have guessed?
In more sense of the word. Truly fantastic stuff.